Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chaf, and Me'etz Hashem we're going to finish off the first parak of Pesachim, the beautiful parak of Orli Arbasar, and really conclude the entire sugya of Chanina Skana Kohanim. We're learning today Leila Nishmas Miriam Aframowitz, Miriam Basachna. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah. And we begin two lines from the top, quoting the statement of Braisa that Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim had said earlier on Daf Yutes Omer Aleph. And that is Vabosu Tomei. If you remember the case, we discussed it in great detail in yesterday's shiur, that there was a machat that was found inside the basar, and we said that the machat was able to be metame the basar, the flesh of the animal. However, it wasn't able to be metame the yadayim of the kohen or the sakin that was used to go and shecht this behema. So, Habosu Tomei, the basar was Tomei. So the Gemara asks, how come? Hai basar, the iskashi b'mai. Why would this basar becoming tummy? We know that ochlin need to have something come upon them, some liquid, one of the seven liquids, yad shoch adam that we've spoken about, liquid come upon them to make the mukshal kabel tumah. What liquid came upon this basar? We're assuming right now that no liquid came upon this basar. So how was the machat, even if it was tummy, capable of making this basar tummy when it wasn't mukshal kabel tumah? Shmuel has a couple of suggestions, most of them that we're going to reject. Inema this kasher bedam. If you're going to tell me it was the dam, when they shechted the animal, the dam came into contact with the basar, and that's why the basar became moshul kabel tumah. That's not true. Amar Reb Chiya bar Abba, Amar Yochanan, Reb Chiya bar Abba said, "Amar Reb Yochanan, minayin ledam kachim she'eno machshir." The dam of kachim, we're dealing here with the carbon, is not capable of making the basar mukshal kabel tumah. Why is that? Because we have the pasuk that tells us, we had this drasha the other day as well, shenemar lo sochlenu ala aretz tishpachenu kamoyim, that the blood of an animal that you're not allowed to eat is the type of blood that you have to spill upon the ground. And we know that the dam of kachim is not the type of blood that can spill upon the ground. It's the type of blood that you have to do zrika with, so it's not called ala aretz tishpachenu kamoyim. So dam shenishpach, that type of blood, shenishpach b'mayim, that can be machshir. That is capable of making the item, the ochlin, mukshal kabel tumah, as opposed to the dam of a carbon, v'she'eino nishpach b'mayim, because it's not spilled on the ground, but it's done zrika with, it's put on the mizbeach, the blood applications of that carbon are done on the mizbeach, by definition is eino machshir. That's a ruchia bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan taught us. So therefore, the basar here could not have become mukshal kabel tumah from the dam of the shchita of this carbon. So we reject that answer. So where it says, okay, you know what? Elo this kasher b'mashke beis mitbechaya. You know what? It was the dam, not the dam of the lifeblood, but it was the regular dam that was in the beis mitbechaya, in the area to the north of the mizbeach, where they would actually go and flay the korbanos and cut them up into their component parts, and wash out the peresh, the intestinal excrement, etc., from that area. So you have dam and mayim that we said are the mashkim, the beis mitbechaya. And it must be those types of liquids, the dam and the mayim that were over there, that made the basar, in our case, mukshal kabel tumah, that the macha that was in the flesh over here was able to be metamiyah. Where it says, no, that's also not right. For Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, Rabbi Yossi, who was the son of Rabbi Chanina, said, "Mashke beis mitbechaya lo dayan shein dachan." It's not enough that they consider themselves tahar; they don't accept tumah. That was what we had learned previously. That was one of the things that we had said was special about the machlokas Rav and Levi as to exactly what this was referring to. Mashke beis mitbechaya or midbechaya, if you remember. So this mashkim of the beis mitbechaya, it's not enough to say that they're Dochen, they can't accept tumah themselves. Elishim Achshirim, they don't even have the ability to make something mukshal kabel tumah. So it's not talking about the mashke beis mitbechaya. So what other liquids got into contact with this basar to make it mukshal kabel tumah? Try again. Dela dis kasher bechibas hakodesh. Chibas hakodesh is an idea that something is so beloved, so to say, to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. It's so beloved to us in that it is, Rashi explains, Chibas HaKodesh, Mechasharta, Lov Olidei Tumah, that just the fact that it's Kodesh, that can make it capable of accepting Tumah. The Kaimelon Perisheni, the Shritas Chulun, like we learned in the Gemara in Chulun, in the second parak. I always like to point out that Rashi refers to Mesechtas Chulun as Mesechtas Shritas Chulun. He doesn't like to call a Mesechta Chulun not holy. So he calls it Shritas Chulun. In any event, it says over there, that chibas hakodesh, the love, desiring of being kodesh, mashvilo ochel lekabulituma, that in and of itself can make something be makabulituma. So it's just the fact that it's kachim, that's what makes it mokshel lekabulituma. You don't need to have one of the seven liquids go upon it. So that's what you're going to tell me, the eladi is tkashia b'chibas hakodesh. Mar says that's also not a good teretz. When we say that there's this concept of chibas hakodesh, emor demahanya lechibas hakodesh. When we say that something could accept tumah because it's chibas hakodesh, that means leifsule gufei. That means it itself can become what we call pasul, which means it becomes tummy itself, but doesn't transmit down the line further. So therefore, chibas hakodesh can make something itself capable of accepting tumah, but not to be able to transmit it down the line. So it's psule gufe, it can make itself possible. However, lemimna beirisho visheni nami, Rashi says loshon tumiya, are you telling me that it can also transmit down the line? It makes things into a risho and a visheni? Now the basa here was called tame. When Chanina Skanas Kohanim said over here that the basa was tame, he didn't say the basa was possible. He said the basa was tame, which implies that it can transmit down the line further. So therefore, if you're going to tell me chibas hakodesh, all he could have said was that the boss was posel. Now maybe it means that the boss was tummy. Why not? If you're going to tell me that it really means that the boss was tummy and can transmit down the line, so this is a rishon, it could make something into a sheni, into a shlishi, into a vi by kachim. If that's true, so then tivsho the boy Rish Lakish, then we should be able to answer the question that Rish Lakish should ask, which we did not answer. We left it as a boy the lov shitalei. And what did Rish Lakish ask? The Rish Lakish asked, if you have a tsarid shel menachos, if you have, Rashi explains, dry, tsarid means loshon yovesh, so you have some clumps of a mincha, of the flour, that did not become wet with oil, they were dry. So they're each considered a separate entity, they're not all lumped together. So therefore, this tsarid shel menachos, monin bo rishon visheni olo. If you touch part of it, so does that become a rishon, and then the next piece of flour next to it becomes a sheni when it touches that first piece, and the next piece becomes a shlishi na. Now, he asked that question, but he didn't answer it. Now, if you're telling me that chibas hakodesh makes something capable of transmitting tumah down the line, so then we should be able to answer his question and say, yes, it can transmit it and make it into a rishon, sheni, shlishi, revi. But he didn't give that teretz. So therefore, that's not correct. When chibas hakodesh makes something capable of accepting tumah, it's only making it into something that we call pasul, but not something that we call tumah. And yet here it says the basul is tumah. So this is also not the right answer. So again, we're stuck with our question, how did this basul become mukshal kabul tumah? Tosus here understands this a little bit differently, but the bottom line is, even the way Tosus understands it, you still have Reish Lakish's question unanswered, and therefore the Basar is not Tomei, the Basar is Pasul, if you're telling me it's Chibas HaKodesh. And yet, Reish Lakish's Karakwadim calls it Basar Tomei. So finally, we give the right answer. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, you know, he says, Kigon Shahaisa Para Shozivche Shlomim. You know what type of a carbon this was? This was a shlomim. Now, the Baalim eat the meat of a shlomim. And therefore, when the Baalim bring the carbon, they want to make it as easily flayable as possible to make sure that they get all the meat off because they're going to want to eat the meat of this carbon. So this was a Para Shozivche Shlomim. It was a shlomim. Behevira Benohar. And as was common, Rashi brings down that this was the way they used to go and make their korbanos, to prepare their korbanos. They would go and have the animal be wet. They would literally bring it through some sort of a river or some sort of water before they shechted the korban. And in this situation, the adayin, the hevira ben nahar, the ushchot ushchata, the adayin mashke tofei chalel, and the water was still on it from passing it through the river. As Rashi points out over here, adayin mashke tofei chalel, the efshe shelo yipol min hamashke al habasar, it would be impossible that some of the water that was on the flesh over here didn't get onto, on the skin, when they flayed it, didn't get onto the basar kosher, at least a little bit, b'shas hefshet, at the time of the flaying. As Rashi points out, in the previous Rashi, that's why B'davkin said, parashol zivchei shlomim, l'fi sha'or v'abasar l'balim, because the balim get the hide, as opposed to other korbanos, like a ola, for example, the kohanim get the hide here, the balim get to keep the hide, although they often did give it to the kohanim, but they weren't mechuyev to, l'fi sha'or v'abasar l'balim, so they would get the meat and the hide. And they would do everything possible to make sure that they flayed it in the best possible way, so there'd be no meat left on the hide, and that the meat would be optimized for eating, and the hide would be optimized to use it as a hide. And therefore, they would pass it through a river right prior to shechting the animal, and they would also give it to drink. We know that if a person is dehydrated, his skin tents. That's a medical expression that's used like for you. If you pull up the skin, it stays up. It doesn't go back down right away like a healthy, hydrated person. And this way, this way it was very easy to go and flay the animal, like the Gemara says at the end of Gemara in Beitza on Daf Mem. So therefore, that's the answer. That's why it was Mokshel Kabel Tumah, because they had passed it through a river. It was moist, still it was wet at the time of the Shechita, and some of the water dripped down onto the Basar. That made it Mokshel Kabel Tumah. Then we continue. Rav Chanina's Kana Kohanim said, Nimtzeis BaPeresh, if you find it in the peresh, so then in the excrement of the animal, inside the intestinal tract of the animal with all the excrement, hakol tor, then the needle doesn't metame the peresh, it's certainly not going to be metame the basar, and it's not metame the hands and the sakin as well. So Gemara says, why not? Why doesn't the needle, the macha, nehader peresh, v'nitzmaya lebasar? Let the needle go and make the peresh tame, and let the peresh, which is a liquid, because Mistama Rashi says, the peresh, the kosoka daitoch, toras mashke olav, shari bishazu, hishkoso, because the same liquid that we just said a moment ago got on the basar, Mistama, that same liquid also got on the peresh. So the peresh, because of this liquid that makes it mukhshul lekabel tumah, so the perish should be able to accept tumah. The machat should touch the perish. The perish is liquidy. It should be able to be, liquids can be metame ochlin. So therefore, the mashke of the perish should be metame the ochlin. And the mashke itself had become mukhshul lekabel tumah from the water that was on the animal. So the word says, no, that's not true. Amar Ravada Barava, Beperish, but we're dealing over here with very, very thick type of excrement. It's not the loose type of excrement, and therefore it's not considered a mashkim. It's considered an ochlin, even though it got wet. An ochlin can't be matame ochlin, as we've said many times. And therefore, this perish, even though it itself might become tame, who cares? It can't make something else tame. And therefore, the basar, and certainly the sakin, and the hands of the kohen aren't going to become tame if they were to touch the perish. Alternatively, the work is another teretz. Rav Ashi Amar, Afil Tema Beperish Rabba, Raka. Even if you want to tell me that it was perish, that was in fact loose, it was in fact moist, wet perish, which therefore would be considered mashkin, and should be able to be metami the basar when it comes into contact with it. Nevertheless, we say, Mishum Dehebe Mashke Saruach. It's disgusting. It is a foul-smelling, odorous type of mashke, and that doesn't have the ability, that's not considered a mashke. It's not considered potable, and therefore it's not capable of being metame the basar. Now, where it tells us, Tani Tana Kameder of Sheshes. There was one of the Amoraim who learned Brises in front of Rav Sheshes, and he said over the following Brisa. He said, Sheretz, if a Sheretz, which is of course one of the dead Shmona Shvatzim, which is Avatumma, it's capable, it comes into contact with Mashkin, to be Natame Samashkin. Okay, so the Sheretz is an Av, the Mashkin become a Rishon, or Mashkin Metame Masakeli, the Rishon Mashkin are capable of Metame the Keli. Mashkin, we said previously, can be Metame Keli, at least according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which the Gemara will point out in a moment, he rejected. But originally, Rabbi Yehuda said that the Mashkin can be Metame the Keli Midaraisa, so that makes the Keli into a Sheni. Or Kli, this Keli that it comes into contact with, which is a Sheni, is Metame Sa Ochlin. Keli are Metame Ochlin, so the Ochlin are now a Shlishi, but Ochlin Metame Sa Mashkin, and the Ochlin can be Metame the Mashkin to make it into a V. Now, if he stopped over there, we could live with it. But he then says, V'lamadnu shalosh tumos b'sheretz. And it seems to say from over here that there's only three levels of tumah by a sheretz. But here we just went down to a V. As the Gemara says, Hani arbahein, how can you tell me there's only three? We just said four. We said that the sheretz is the av, it's mashkin of the rishon, the keli is the sheni, the ochlin or the shlishi, and mashim again or the revi. So it goes down four levels. How can you tell me three levels? So the Gemara says, you're right. Guz Mashkin Duresha. Eliminate, take out from over here that the Sheretz was with Tami the Mashkin and the Mashkin with Tami the Kalim. Remove that Mashkin from the discussion. So the Sheretz was with Tami the Kali, and the Kali was with Tami the Oakland, and the Oakland with Tami the Mashkin. Oh, that's only three levels. That's the right way to learn this. You have to remove the first Mashkin. Moore says, why did you remove the first Mashkin? Instead of saying Guz Mashkin the Resha, Moore says, Adarabba, Guz Mashkin the Seifa. Go take out the last Mashkin, that the Oakland or Matami, the last Mashkin. So you could also come to three that way. Why did you remove the first Mashkin instead of the last Mashkin? Remove the last Mashkin and not the first Mashkin. So Moore says, no. Lo Ashkechon Tana, because there is no Tana that says the Yomar Mashkin Matam and Keli, El Rav Yehuda, as I just pointed out before, there is no Tana that says Midar Raisa, the Mashkin can be Matame Yekeli. The only one who said that was Rav Yehuda, Vahadabe, and he retracted it. So therefore, there is no such Tana. So therefore, delete from this brisa that the Amora taught in front of Rav Sheshes this first goes, this first mashkin dereisha. And where it says, how do you remember this? We always try to give simonim. It's a wonderful thing to try to remember. Gemara is using simonim. The Gemara uses this trick all the time. There's a beautiful website called Zichru that has a whole bunch of mnemonics on every day's Gemara, pictures and mnemonics. It's a wonderful website for people that like these types of things. And if it's Hashem, you go to this website, you can see pictures and mnemonics for every single daf to help you remember it. So we always make simonim. We learned this in the Gemara Ervin that you should make simonim. And we find throughout the Gemara that they make simonim. So what's the simon to remember over here that your goes from this brisa, the first mashkin and not the last mashkin? So he says, simonech niziyosa. That's niziyosa, Rashi tells us, is beer. And this was barley beer. And Rashi says that the process for making this barley beer was Seder Matile Shechos Orin, the people who made barley beer, Tchila number one, Nostin Kli. They first took a Kli. V'yachakach Ochol, then they put in the Sorin. V'yachakach Mashkin, then they put in the water and soaked it. So that's how they would go and make their barley beer. So that's Rashi's simon, that you keep the order of making beer, and that will remind you the Sheretz first goes Kli, then it goes Ochlin, then it goes Mashkin. The Kli, the barley, and then the water. That's how you remember it if you remember the mnemonic Naziyosa, the beer. The Rabbeinu Chananel over here has a slightly different way to remember it. He says that this Naziyosa is a Kli itself. So you have to remember, Hamashkeh Sha'amris, that mashkeh that you said, Mitame Hakelim, that you remove, Shehen Naziyosa. So that's how you remember to remove it. Remove the thing that is put into the Kli. So remove the first mashkin that go into the Kli. Again, opposite way of remembering it, however you remember a mnemonic, that's fine. Adigmar continues and says, Tanan Hossam, we learned in a Mishnah and Kalim the following. Sheretz shenimsa betanur. If you find the sheretz inside of an oven, we had this discussion previously. So a klicheres, an oven was made out of earthenware. A klicheres is matame inside. Anything within the rim of the klicheres becomes tame. Any food, as we'll see, within this rim becomes tame when a sheretz goes inside the klicheres. So sheretz shenimsa betanur. Sheretz is inside the airspace of the tanner. It doesn't even have to touch the tanner. It's just within the airspace of the tanner. In this situation, hapas shebesolcha becomes a sheni. So why is this? Because the sheretz, even though it didn't touch the tanner, turns the tanner into a rishon, and all the breads, any food inside the airspace of the oven, even though it didn't touch the sheretz, automatically becomes a sheni from the tumah that the tanner gets, even though the sheretz didn't touch the tanner. This is a special din by klicheres that the airspace of it is also able to be tamas. If you lower a sheretz into the airspace and there are breads inside the oven, so all the breads inside this oven become tummy, even though the sheretz never touched the oven and never touched the breads. That's a special din by klicheres, such as a tanner. That's what this Mishnah in Kalim teaches us. So Amalei Rav Adda bar Av l'Rava, so Rav Adda bar Rava says to Rava, the next day, lehai tanur kiman demoli tumadomi. Why don't we say, let's look at this in a different way. Don't look at it that the tanur is a rishon and therefore the breads are a sheni. We should say that the sheretz is viewed as filling up the airspace of the tanur, not that it was matami the tanur, and therefore all the breads are considered as if they touched the sheretz. So nechse lahai tanur kiman demoli tuma, like it's filled with the tuma of the sheretz, that the heavy high pas rishona, and therefore the pas is as if it touched the sheretz, not that it touched the oven, which is a rishon, and therefore the breads are a sheni, but we should view the breads as if they also are touching the sheretz, even though, again, the sheretz didn't touch the oven, and the sheretz didn't touch the breads. But since it's in the airspace of the oven, it's below the rim of the oven, so instead of saying that it's matami the oven to a rishon, and the oven then is in turn matami the breads to a sheni, why don't we view the sheretz as if it's filled in the entire airspace of the tanur, and it's as if it's touching each of the breads, it makes all the breads a rishon. That's what Rav Adda bar Rava asked to Rava. Rava answers, Amalei, lo soka daitach. Don't even think that. That's incorrect. Because we learned in a braisa, the Tanya, Yacho you kol kelim mitamim, may avir klicheres. I might have thought that all of the kelim can be mitame from the avir of klicheres, and that, let's say you had five different pots inside this oven, that all the pots should become tame from being in the airspace of the tanner that had a sheretz inside of it, even though the sheretz didn't touch each of the pots. Nevertheless, I might have thought that that should apply, just like it does with the breads. I might have thought it applies with the kelim. We turn to the Amud Beis, Tamalomar. We have the pasuk telling us from Shmini as well. Tamalomar, kol asher besocho yitma. Only things that are inside of it are yitma. And then the next pasuk says, usamichle mikola ochel. So kol asher besocho yitma mikola ochel. It's as if the pasuk is telling us only the things that are inside that can become tameh via this airspace are only ochel. So that's the way we darsh in this pasuk. Ochel mitameh mi'avrik l'cheretz v'ein kol hakelim mitameh mi'avrik l'cheretz. So this comes to teach me that it's only ochel, like all the breads inside the airspace here, that can become tameh from the airspace, but kelim don't become tameh from the airspace. So therefore, the tumah isn't considered as if it's spread throughout the whole thing. The tumah is metame the klicheres oven, and in turn that is metame everything within inside the airspace based upon this pasuk in Shmini. Kol shebesocho yitma mikola ochel, only ochel, and therefore that's how it becomes tame as a sheni, the bread, but not as a rishon, since the kalim aren't tame from the viewing the airspace as being filled with the sherets. So to the pas isn't becoming tame as the airspace was filled with the sherets. Just like the kelim don't become a rishon from the sheretz, so too the pas doesn't become a rishon from the sheretz. And in fact, it's only a sheni. The pas is only a sheni. And in fact, the kelim can't become tameh because kelim can't become tameh from other kelim. So it works by making the sheretz makes the oven tameh, and the oven can't be metameh the other kelim that are inside of it. Keli can't be metameh keli, but of course a keli can be metameh ochlin, and that's why the breads are a sheni. Now the Gemara goes back all the way to our Mishnah on Daf Yud Dalet. When we started bringing down the whole sugya of Rav Chinah Skana Kohanim, which would be Yetzer Hashem, we finally are going to conclude. I think I said yesterday that we concluded. I meant that we concluded that part of the sugya. The entire sugya actually runs till the end of this parak. And now we go back and actually repeat several ideas that we had previously. It's a good chazorish here now. Rav Chista Rami Piskla Piskla. Rav Chista is going to throw two brises at each other. That's what it means, Rami. He's literally tossing these two brises against each other, and he's going to show that there's a way to reconcile these two brises. Both of them are said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Mishani, and he'll show that these two aren't, in fact, in conflict with each other. So he says, Mi amar Yeshua shtem kiachas. Remember we had, back on Daf Yudalid, that Rabbi Yeshua said that you're allowed to go and burn Truma Tuluya, that is Chometz. You had Chometz, we're not sure, did it become Tame or did it not become Tame, and it's Truma, and you're allowed to go and burn it directly with something that is Tame. In other words, you can take the definitely Tame Truma and mix it with the Tolin Chometz and make the Tolin Chometz now definitely Tame. You're allowed to do that on Erev Pesach when you're burning the Chometz. So that's what he had said. But Rabbeinu, then we brought down that Amar of Yossi, Yossi said, Ein hanidon domil l'raya. Remember, we had Rav Meir was saying midivrayim from the words of Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim, and for Rabbi Akiva, we can learn now that what Rabbi Yoshua said was correct, that you're allowed to burn the tolin with actual chometz, and it's not a problem that you're making the tolin now vade chometz. And Rav Meir had said, we can bring a raya midivrayim from Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim, or then from Rabbi Akiva, and Rav Yossi had told Rav Meir, no, you can't. I'm Rav Yossi. Ein hanido domil l'raya. That which you're trying to bring me a proof that from what Chanina Skana Kohanim said, which we'll remind ourselves what it was, and from what Rabbi Kiva said, we'll remind ourselves what it was, that's not a proof that you can burn chametz that is Tuluya Truma with chametz that's Vadai Truma Tumeya on Erev Pesach. Ein Hanidon, the comparison you're trying to make, is Domel Raya, is not a good Raya. What is that? Kishayidu Rav Seinu, you said we can learn from the testimony of Rav Seinu, Rav Meir, you said we can learn out from Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim or from Rabbi Akiva, Amahidu, what were they saying that you're bringing me a raya? Remember the first case of Chanina Skana Kohanim, im ala basar shenitma bevlada tuma. If you had basar kochim that was a shlishi, and it was mixed shesarfino, so we said im abasar shenitma beavatuma is allowed to be mixed with the rishon, and therefore you're turning the rishon is turning the shlishi into a sheni, and yet you're allowed to burn them all together. That's your raya. Therefore, you can burn truma that is tuluya with truma that is tameya, even though you're going to make the truma tuluya now to being vaday tamei. Is that your proof? That's not a good proof. Zet Tomei v'zet Tomei. In the case of the Kachim, you're dealing with a Rishon that's Vadei Tomei with a Shlishi that's Vadei Tomei, and you're mixing them together, making it into a Sheni. But it was Vadei Tomei. In our case of the Tuluya, it's not Vadei Tomei. So how can you say that that's a comparison? You want to compare it to Rabbi Akiva's statement? Remember, Rabbi Akiva said, Imal HaShemen Shenifsal B'Tvu Yom. It's Tvu Yom touched Shemen. There was Truma, and it made it into a Shlishi. Okay, Tuyom is a sheni, and it touches the shemen of Truma and makes it into a shlishi. So are you telling me that that's analogous because it came into contact that you're allowed to burn it? Shemadlikin also b'ner b'tamei meis. Remember we had explained that the ner was in a metal type of a lamp, and that metal had touched a mace, so therefore the metal was an avatuma. It turned the oil into a rishon, and we're dealing here with a rishon of shemen able to be metame a psul of truma, a shlishi of truma. Shemadlikin also b'ner shenit b'tomei meis, and we said in that situation that's not analogous here. Zeh posul zeh tomei. What you've done in that situation, Rabbi Akiva's chiddush was that even though you're taking something that was previously posul, the shlishi by truma is posul, and you're making it into a sheni now called tomei, but that zeh posul zeh tomei. So that's what Rabbi Akiva taught. And who says over here by the truma teluya that's chametz on Erev Pesach, which is maybe tahar, you're allowed to go and make it vaday tomei by mixing it with the truma? You can't learn it out from the first statement of Chanin Skanakhanim from the Basar Kachim, and you can't learn it out from the second statement of Rabbi Akiva, who said from the truma that was possible to make it into truma that was now tmeya. So therefore, afonu modim. So therefore, Rav Yossi continues and he says, "Bitruma shenitmes bevlada tuma shesarfen osama truma shenitmes ba'ava tuma." So you see from here that on Erev Pesach you would be allowed to go and take truma that was coming into contact with a vlada tuma. Let's say it was a shlishi, and you'd be allowed to shesarfen osama truma shenitmes ba'ava tuma, and you could go burn the truma tmeya with a type of truma tmeya that was a rishon. So you could burn. We could learn out from the Mishnah from Chanin Skana Kohanim or from Rabbi Akiva. Not a problem to learn that you could burn on Erev Pesach truma that was a rishon with truma that was a shlishi. No problem at all. That's the nidon is correct. The nidon is the raya. Hanidon doma l'raya. However, only you could learn out that truma shenit is v'avatuma. Shesarfen osam truma shenit is v'avatuma. Only that. How could you learn out? Avlehech nisrof afilu tuluya mitmeya. How could you possibly learn out that you can burn truma that it's tuluya, which may be tahora with truma that it's v'avatuma? You're taking something that we don't know its status and you're making it v'avatuma. Shema yavo alei v'yitarim, because maybe Elio is going to come and say, hey, that truma tuluya never in fact touched a tuma item, and that truma tuluya is actually perfectly edible. It is tar, and therefore you now just ruined it. So that was what Rav Yossi had said to Rav Meir, your raya is not a good raya. And how did Rav Chista, who says Rami Pischa Pischa over here, show that this contradiction is not a contradiction? Omashane, he showed that these two brises aren't contradicting each other by the following. Harabi Shimon Valiba Rishua, Harabi Yossi Valiba the Rishua. They're both stated in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, but they're two different opinions of Rabbi Yoshua. One is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who holds like Rabbi Yoshua, or explaining Rabbi Yoshua, and the other is Rabbi Yossi, Aliba the Rabbi Yoshua. So while the two statements are stated in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, they're each a different statement. And therefore, we could have, in the case of the Chometz, he allows the Tluya to go and be burned together with the Vaday. That will be Rabbi Shimon's opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. And in the case that we brought down, the Rav Yossi in our Mishnah said, Remeya, you're wrong. That is going to be the opinion of Rav Yossi, Aliba de Rav Yoshua. Now let's explain this. The Tanya, our boss, Sosha Cholios B'Shabbos. We had this brisa previously as well. When Yud Dalet, Erev Pesach, is falling out on Shabbos like it does this year, our boss, Sosha Cholios B'Shabbos. So what do? You can't burn the chametz on Yud Dalet like we normally do because it's Shabbos. So you burn all the chametz, the brisa tells us, Mivari Nesakol Milifnei HaShabbos. You go burn everything on Yud Gimel on Friday, which is Erev Pesach. So you burn all the chametz. What does it mean, all the chametz? V'sarfin Trumos Temeos. Teluyos utahoros. You burn all your truma, whether it's definitely tamei, whether it's teluya, or whether it's tar. You can burn it all together. Divri Ramey. Ramey says you can burn it all together. Not a problem. Ramey Lishitaso. He said you can do it on your dalet. He says you can do it on your gimel. No problem. Divri Ramey. And Rav Yossi comes along, and Rav Yossi Omer, Tahora b'fnei atzma. No, you have to burn the Tahora all by itself. You can't be metamiyit. And the Tluya, which we're not sure, is it tamei, is it not? You can't burn it with anything else. So you have to burn it by itself, b'fnei atzma. And the Tmeya, definitely tamei. You can't mix it with anything else, not with Tluya, and certainly not with Tahora, or Tmeya b'fnei atzma. That's Rav Yossi's understanding. And Amar Rabbi Shimon, and here's the machlokas with Rav Yossi, Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not true. Amar Rabbi Shimon, no. Lo nechliku Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, where Rabbi Yeshua says, differently than Rabbi Eliezer, in regards to what you can burn together with what, lo nechliku Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua al haTorah v'al Tmeya. They both agree, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees, that you can't burn Vaday Tahora with Vaday Tmeya. That you can't do. Shein Sarfin. They each have to burn separately. And they likewise both agree al haTeluya v'al haTahora shesarfin. Teluya can definitely burn with Tahora, because after all, the Teluya, we aren't definitely making it Tamei So it's Tluya, so you can mix it with the Tahora because you're not going to necessarily make the Tahora Tame, because maybe the Tluya is not. So you're not Vaday making something Tame over here. So therefore, Al HaTluya of Al HaTahora, they both agree, even Rabbi Eliezer's mode, they're Shesarfin, you're allowed to burn those together. So what is the Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua? According to Rabbi Shimon, Amar Nechleku, Al HaTluya of Al HaTameya. Oh, Rabbi Shimon's Shita is that Rabbi Yehoshua holds that they only argue, Rabbi Yehoshua only argues with Rabbi Eliezer on a situation of Tuluya and Temeya. She Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Tisarv Zubiatso, Zubiatso. Oh, Rabbi Eliezer says, I have to burn each one separately. But, oh, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yehoshua Omer Shtei and Kiachas, you're allowed to burn the Tuluya and the Temeya together. We're not concerned that you're going to go make the Tuluya now Vaday Tame. That is how Rabbi Shimon explains Rabbi Yehoshua. And, of course, Rabbi Yossi says, no, you have to burn each of them separately. That is the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon within the Shita of Rabbi Yehoshua. Oh, this is how you reconcile the Braisa and our Mishnah. One is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua as explained by Rabbi Yossi, and one is the opinion of Yeshua as explained by Rabbi Shimon. The only problem is, you're now saying our Mishnah is to be understood like Rabbi Shimon. Well, Mastisa, Rabbi Yossi, but our Mishnah was Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi kamar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi is saying in our Mishnah to Rav Meir. No, even if your understanding of Rabbi Yeshua is like Rabbi Shimon, afilu Rabbi Shimon, v'alibi Rabbi Yeshua, even Rabbi Shimon's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua, who's meikel, much more meikel than I am, where is he meikel? Ki meikel, he's only meikel b'tluya t'meya. He's only meikel that you can burn the tluya and the t'meya together. Avo b'tahora t'meya, taking absolutely tar chometz, truma on Erev Pesach, and burning with vaday t'meya, even he doesn't allow that. That's what Rav Yossi and our Mishnah is saying. But it doesn't negate, that's how you reconcile, that there are two opinions of Rav Yeshua. There's the opinion of Rav Yossi in Rav Yeshua and the opinion of Rav Shimon in Rav Yeshua. So that's how you can get rid of the stira Rav Chista brings down, that the Mishnah against the Braisa, it seems to be a stira. No, it's not really a stira. Similarly, Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina, Rami Truma Pischa. Similarly, Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina is going to contrast over here a Braisa regarding Truma with a Mishnah regarding Psochem, and use the same explanation that there's a machlokis within Rabbi Yeshua between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, the same exact answer to explain that there's no stira between the two. Umashani, he's going to give the same teretz to explain and reconcile that there's no stira. Now, what are the two? Mi amar Yeshua shteim chachas. Did Rabbi Yeshua in fact say that you're allowed to go and burn the Tluya Chameitz with the Vadai Truma Tmeya on Erev Pesach, as we just said, or Mini, I'll show you a different Mishnah. This Mishnah is from Trumos. We had it earlier in the Gemara as well. And it says over there, Chavish shel Truma shenolad basafik Tuma. If you have a barrel of Truma, and we're not sure, did it or did it not become Tomei? This is a barrel of wine. So you have wine here that we're not sure now what it's its status. It's Truma, but it's maybe Tomei, maybe not. We don't know. So what does Rabbi Eliezer say you should do with this? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im ha'isam unachas b'mokam ha'turfa, if it was out in the public area, if it was in a place of hefker, Rashi explained turfa was hefker, if it's out in the public, so you know what you have to do? Rabbi Eliezer says you have to do everything possible to prevent it from becoming tameh. So what do you do in this situation? Yanichene b'mokam ha'mutzah. You have to take it away from the public area and put it in a private, secure place where nobody else will touch it. Likewise, in ha'isam ha'gulev, it's open so people could easily touch it. Yechasene, you have to cover it up. Because Rabbi Eliezer Lishitasa says you're not allowed to do anything, even a grama, even an indirect causation of making this truma tluya tmeya. And pumfaket, Rabbi Yeshua says the opposite. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, imaisim unachas b'mokam mutzna. If it was in a private area, so bring it to a public area so somebody will inadvertently touch it and make it tamei. Yanichene b'mokam haturfa. And the imaisim chusiv was covered up so people won't easily touch it. Yigala, yigalena, go and uncover it so people will touch it. Now, what do you see from here? Rabbi Yeshua only allowed a grama. He only allowed an indirect causation, groma in, but biyadayim lo. He didn't say you can go and take this wine that is tuluya and go imatami biyadayim. So how come on Erev Pesach you're allowed to take the tuluya and biyadayim go and burn it with the chametz that is vaday truma tumeya? That's the kasha. That's what Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina says. These two seem to be contradicting each other. There's a stira within the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, and he answers that there are two opinions of Rabbi Yeshua, just like we just did a minute ago. Umeshane, the same way. How Rabbi Shimon alibi Rabbi Shua? Rabbi Shimon, within the opinion of Rabbi Shua, says that you can burn Tuluya with Temeya, and you have the opinion of Harav Yossi alibi Rabbi Shua that says you can't burn Tuluya with Temeya. So again, we reconcile it in the exact same way. Gemara says another stira, Rabbi Elazar, Rami Truma Truma. Rabbi Elazar is going to contrast two brises that we have with each other, and he's going to be Mishani, and he's going to show that they don't contradict each other as well. So he says, Miyam Rabbi Yeshua, Groma in Biyadayim Lo, this Mishnah that we just brought down, which we said that you're not allowed to go and be Metame, this questionable barrel of wine, did it become Tame or not? You're not allowed to be Metame Biyadayim, albeit you're allowed to go and put it in a way that somebody will inadvertently go and be Metame it. So Groma in Biyadayim Lo, but I'll show you, we have another Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Trumos, Urminu. It says over there, Chavish Shel Truma Shenishbar Begasel Yonah. Again, we had this earlier in the Gemara as well. We have the upper area of the press, and you have a lower area of the press. So you have a barrel of Truma in the upper area of the press that's Tahar, and Nishbara Begasel Yonah. But this barrel broke, and now all the wine is going to flow down into the lower part, into the Gat HaTachtona. Now, in the Gat HaTachtona, you have Tomei Chulin. Now, when you have Tahar Truma mixing with Tomei Chulin wine, you're in a lot of trouble, because now all the wine that is Chulin, that is Tomei, which previously can be drunk by anybody, because there's no problem in drinking Chulin that are Tomei, is now going to have mixed in it within it Truma that is now Tomei. Now, Truma that is Tomei cannot be drunk. So you may have $100 worth of Chulin Tomei wine, which is perfectly edible, potable wine, and now it's going to become totally inedible. So you're going to lose all the wine that's in the Tachtona area if you allow the Truma to go and flow down in there, because it's going to now mix, even though it's Tahora, it's going to go and mix with Chulin that are Tomei, and all of it's going to become a Tomei, a mixture of Truma and Chulin that is Tomei, and none of it will be able to be drunk. So what should you do in that situation? The Chavish Shel Truma Shenishbar Begasel Yonah. Now, you don't have any tar utensils. You have tar utensils, so of course, fill them up with tar utensils. So in this situation, Mod Rabbi Eliezer, now we have the Girsa Li Rabbi Yeshua, but on the side it says that this is both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. They both agree. However you want to learn it, they're both saying the same thing. Shem Yochel L'Hatzim Men Revias Batara. If you have at least one tar utensil that can hold a revias, something substantive, something that's considered choshev, so then you have to do that and not be metame the truma wine with a non-tar utensil, a tame utensil. So Im Yochel L'Hatzim Men Revias Batara, you have to do so yatzil. And the rest will flow down into the bottom. Sorry, it'll be lost. But the imlav, if you don't even have a single utensil that can hold a revias b'tahara, in this situation, Rabbi Lezo Mir, sorry, buddy, you're going to lose all the truma. It's all going to go pouring down into the bottom. You're going to lose the truma, and you're going to lose the chulin. Rabbi Lezo Mir, teirei v'sitame. You're not even allowed to do a groma. Baal yitamena b'yat. And certainly, you can't go and do something to be metame with your hand. And Rabbi Shua Mir, no, yitamena b'yat. Here, you not only can you do a grama? You can actually be metame it with your hand. You take a tome keli, and the truma that is tahora that's on the top will fall into this tome keli. You tamena biyad. Now, here he says you can be metame biyad. In the previous case, he said you can only be metame with a grama. So we have a stira between these two statements of Rabbi Yeshua. So where it says mishani, Rabbi Lozer is mishani over here, and he says shani hasam. There's a difference between the two cases. In the first case, when he said you can only do it begrama, when you had the wine in the barrel that maybe somebody touched it, maybe somebody didn't, he said you can only go and put it out into a hefker place. You can only uncover it. So there you can only do a grama, but you can't be metami at biyad. He said in that situation, there was no loss of money. There was this talui wine. You're not losing any money by doing that. So therefore, you can only do it begrama, but you can't do it biyad. But in our case now, the second case, where the wine in the top is going to ruin all the wine at the bottom, so the Ika Hefset Chulin, or the $100 worth of wine at the bottom, is all going to be lost. So Yeshua, in this situation, because of Hefset Mamon, allows you to go and fix this situation and not lose the wine at the bottom by taking a Tomeid Kli and collecting the Truma Tahora, the wine in the top, into this Tomei Keli. Even though you're going to be Metame, this Truma be a dime, you're allowed to do this, because it's going to become tummy anyway, and this way at least you won't have the hefsid mamon. So on this suggested answer of Rabbi Elazar, Rav has a question. Maskev l'Rava. So then in this situation as well, in our Mishnah, Ika hefsid eitzim, why don't we say that when you have to go and burn in our Mishnah the truma that is Tumeya, you're not allowed to burn it with a truma that is tahora, but then you're going to have to make two separate fires, and Ika Hefsed Eitzim. So there should be then Hefsed Eitzim. Why don't we take that into account? So again, how much is firewood? Firewood's a buck. Here you're talking about $100 worth of wine versus a buck. So Gemara says, I'm only a bai, lehefsed merubu chashu, lehefsed mu'ut lo chashu. It all depends on how much money. When you're dealing with all the bottom got, that $100 worth of wine, maybe much more. So then you're allowed to go and be metame, the wine in the top, be a dime, because you're saving yourself $100, $1,000. And you're saving yourself a couple of twigs, so then that's a hefsed mu'ut. The rabbis were not choshesh for that, and they said, burn the truma tahora separately from the truma tameya. And Abai says, I'll show you that I'm right. Umino tema, where do we see that we make a distinction between hefsed meruba and hefsed mu'ut? The lehefsed meruba choshu, lehefsed mu'ut lo choshu. Where do we see such a distinction? The Tanya, because we have another brisa. Now, the previous price that we just learned was dealing with wine mixing with wine. This price is going to be the exact case, but it's oil mixing with oil. And this price says, Chavish shel shemen truma. You have chavish, a barrel that has oil in it, that is tahora, that is truma. Shenishma begaso yona. It's in the olive press now, in the upper. It's exactly analogous to the case of the wine, but now we're dealing with olives. So you have oil in the top that is tahora, truma, and it's going to fall, because the barrel breaks, into the bottom, which is filled with ubetachtona, and the barrel at the bottom, in the press at the bottom, chulin tumei. It has chulin tumei. Now, if the oil that is truma, that is tahora, mix it with that oil, it's all going to become a demai. Again, a mixture of oil that is tahor and oil that is tame. And since there's truma in here, you can't eat any of it. So it's going to be a problem. You're going to have a financial loss. Uvetachtona chulin tumei. Now, one would have expected us to give the same answers we gave a moment ago, but we don't. So here, Modi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Eliezer is Modi Rabbi Shua. We're going to ask in a second. It should be the other way around. It should be Rabbi Shua is Modi Rabbi Eliezer. But it says, Modi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shua. Shem Yochel, Hatzim, Mena, Revius, Vatara. If you can go and save from the oil a Revius, Vatara, then you have to. Then you can do that, and the rest will fall down. Yatzil. V'im lav. But if you're not able to even have one clean utensil that you can save even a Revius of oil, everybody agrees. Tebeid visitama. You have to let it fall down into the bottom, and oil, the oil at the bottom is going to now become a mixture of chulin that are tumein with oil, truma, that previously was tahora, and now is going to mix with the tame stuff, and it will become tame. And you're not allowed to go and save the oil at the bottom by taking a tame keli and collecting the tahor oil that's truma in the top into a tame keli. Now here, you see clearly that Rabbi Yeshua also agrees that you can't do this. Now, why not? With the wine, he says you can. With the oil, he says you can't. Oh, so the difference is that wine is no longer drinkable. So you're destroying all the wine. But the oil, while it's not going to be drinkable now, it's still usable as flame. You're allowed to burn truma oil that is temeya. You're not osu b'hanah. With the wine, what are you going to do with it? The wine doesn't burn, so it's all going to go to waste. But the oil, it won't go to waste. So the oil is a loss. Okay, oil that's able to be drunk is worth a dollar. And oil that's not able to be drunk, but it can be burned, is worth 90 cents. So therefore, it's only a hefsed mu'ut. And you see, therefore, for hefsed mu'ut, we don't allow you to be metame b'yadayim. As opposed to, for a large amount of money, a loss of the wine at the bottom, there you're allowed to be metame b'yadayim. Oh, here you see a raya that for a hefsed meruba, we're choshesh. For a hefsed mu'ut, we're not choshesh. Now the Gemara says, this is a nice teretz, but we have some problems with it. Maishno shemen deroy lahadlik. You're telling me over here, the oil, it's not ruined because you can go and burn it. The wine's also not ruined. Yayinami, royal azilov. You can go and sprinkle the wine. They used to have dust floors, and they used to have to, like I always say, the infield in the seventh inning stretch, they watered down the infield so the dust doesn't rise. So you have a nice flat surface. So they had their houses, they would want to sprinkle down the dirt floors of their houses, and they wanted to do it with something that had a nice aroma. So they would go and sprinkle with wine. That's called zilov. So even though this is tamei truma, you're allowed to use it. You're allowed to get hanah from it. So the kohen could go and sprinkle this in his house. So therefore, Yayinami, royal azilov. So why is this not called also only a hefsed mu'ut and called a hefsed meruba? Are you going to tell me that zilov is nothing? Zilov, la milsi, that's really ridiculous. The Gemara says, no, zilov is very important. Shosin milog bisela, when you can buy wine, if it's wine that's just regular drinkable wine, you should pay for it a seller. But if it's mezalfin, if it's a type of wine that you can actually go do zilif with, oh, milog bishtayim, you should buy it for two sloim. In other words, you should pay a large amount of money for the wine that you can do zilif with. So zilif is a taka, a very important thing. So that should also be only considered a hefsed mu'ut if you can't drink it, but you can at least do zilif. So Gemara says, no, it depends what type of wine you're talking about. B'chadosh, new wine doesn't have a nice aroma to it, and therefore you don't do zilif with new wine. And this is talking about with new wine, therefore it's a hefsed meruba. I was just, so let it stay. So let it sit for a year, and then you'll have old wine. And then you'll take this wine that is tame, but you use it for zilov, so you don't have a large financial loss. He says, no, we don't want you leaving wine around in a battle for a year. Because if you leave this wine around, somebody's going to forget about it, and they're going to drink it by accident. They're going to make a mistake, and therefore that would be a terrible thing. You're drinking truma to meya. Well, it says, then you have the same argument with Shemen Nami. If you leave the oil around, Osi Bele De Takola. So, again, either they're both Hefsid Muad, because one is Royal Azilov, one is Royal Adlaka. And if you're telling me that it's not Royal Azilov, then it also, because you're worried about a Takola to let it become old, so then you should worry about the oil also. There should be a Takola then if you leave it around. So where it says, no, you put the oil, the Rami Le Bechlimos, you throw the oil in. That's why we said Rami, your Brisa against the Brisa. You put the oil into a Klimos, so nobody's going to go drink this oil, and it won't lead to a Takola. Shmuel says, okay, do the same thing with the wine. Yayinami. Go put the wine into a disgusting utensil, and therefore you won't come to drink it, but you'll be able to use it for zilov. Rami Leib Kli Mos. Go put the wine into a disgusting Kli as well. Shmuel says, no, that would defeat the purpose. Lezilov, Koboile, you're going to put the wine into something that makes it disgusting. It's not going to have a nice aroma then. Bikli Mos, Rami Leib, how can you put it into this disgusting utensil? It won't serve the purpose of then being able to be usable for zilov. So therefore, the bottom line is, the wine is going to be a huge financial loss because you won't be able to use it for zilov because it's new wine, and you can't go and keep it around liyashno because osil b'deil takola, and there's no teretz of putting it into a clay mos because then it won't be able to be used for zilov, as opposed to the oil, which is only a minor financial loss because you use it for hadlaka, and we're not worried about that you're going to leave it around and use a little bit of hadlaka, and it's going to stay around and go and be drunk by accident, and it's lead to a takola because you can put it into a clay mos and nobody's ever going to drink it. Now we get close to finishing off the perek, and the Gemara tells us for takola atzma tanoihi, this whole concept of are we concerned about a takola or not, that's a machlokas tanoim. Where do we see this? The Tanya, it's a braisa. Chovish shel yayin shel truma shenitmeis. If you have a barrel of wine that is of truma and it became tame, so what are you supposed to do with it? Beshamay amrim, Beshamay says tishofek. Now the girsa that we have is chaval. Go and pour it out. Rashi says that this lashon of chaval is lashon chavila, a bundle. In other words, all of it. You have to throw all of it out. Klomar tishofek yachad, velula zalif. Go pour it out right now and don't keep it around and sprinkle from it a little bit at a time because it's going to lead to a takola. Losi lemishta, you may come to go and drink it. Others have the gears over here, instead of chaval, hakol. In other words, pour the whole thing out. It means the same thing whether you say chaval or hakol. Beis Shammai's opinion is you spill it all out right away. You're not allowed to keep any of it to do zilov. Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel omrim, teyos zilov. You're allowed to go and take a little bit at a time and do the zilov. Go sprinkle it out to mat down and wet down your dirt floors, and it'll have a nice aroma. So you don't have to go and pour it all out at once. Oh, this is machlokas tanaim. Are we concerned about takola? Beis Shammai says we are. You may come to drink it. Therefore, go get rid of it all right away. And Beis Hillel says, no, we're not concerned about takola. I'm a Rishmol Bar Yosef, Ani Achria. Rishmol Bar Yosef says, I will be a Dei HaShishi Sheachria Beneihem. You have Beis Hillel saying, you don't have to be concerned about Takala, and Beis Shammai saying, you do have to be concerned about Takala. I'll be the Dei HaShishi Sheachria Beneihem. How is that? He says, it depends. He says, Basodeh, we're out in the field where there is no need to do zilov right now, and you're going to forget about it, tishofei chaval. Then you have to pour the whole thing out, because there's no chance that you're going to do zilov right away, and that's too much of a takala. However, babayis, since you're using a little bit, you're going to use it all up, babayis teos zilov. You're allowed to do zilov and keep it. So, he said, in the field, I pass him like Beis Shammai, and therefore on the Dei HaShlishi, it's me and Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. But in the house, I pass him like Beis Hillel, so therefore it's me and Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai, so on the Dei HaShlishi, Sheachriya Beinehim. Alternatively, how was he, Rabbi Shmuel, the Dei HaShlishi, Sheach Rebbe Nehem, Yikud Yamei, is another way. Bechadosh, if it's brand new, in other words, it's not good for zilov, if you have to keep it around for a long time, in that situation, I hold like Beis Shammai that you should be Tishofei Chaval, or Hakol. You have to pull the whole thing out, because here it's going to lead to a Takol, because you have to keep it for a long period of time. So on the Dei HaShlishi, Sheach Rebbe Nehem, I'm passing him like Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. And B'yashan, however, if it's already old, and you can start doing the zilov right away, then you can keep it Tasa Zilov, because you're going to use it up relatively quickly, and it's not going to be a Takol. Here I'm passing like Beis Hillel on the Dei HaShlishi, Sheach Rebbe Nehem. However, the rabbi said to Rabbi Shmuel, in either of these situations, are you really a Dei HaShlishi? You're a third separate opinion, and a Dei HaShlishi, Yachri B'Neim, is when you do it the way I said, that you're combining with each of the other opinions in some way, so it's two against one. But here, the Chachamim told him, Amru Lo, they said to him, we turn to the Yom Aleph, you're not really a Deah Shlishi. Ein Hachras Shlishis Machras. Your Deah doesn't really combine with Beis Shammai to go against Beis Hillel. It doesn't combine with Beis Hillel to go against Beis Shammai. They didn't say anything about Chodosh or Yoshan. They didn't say anything about Basodeh or Babayis. You said that. So therefore, you're a third opinion, and you can't be Machria between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in this situation. Finally, we tie up one last loose end. Rabbi Yosef Ruchanina said, where there was a machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, machlokes shenofel l'pochus memeya saw chulin tumeya. That was only in a situation where we had the tomei chulin at the bottom, there was less than 100 saw of chulin. And in the top, it was more than a saw, so therefore it's going to be a taruvis over here that is a mixture that is not batel. And therefore, we have the whole machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, can you or can you not save the chulin at the bottom that's tamein by not allowing the tahora truma at the top for mixing into it by being metamei biyad. That's only if it's nofla lepachus mimeya saw chulin tamein, because therefore you're going to have a taruvus and you have a problem of demai. However, avol nofla lemeya chulin tamein, if the bottom is so much more than the top, so you have more than 101 against it, and therefore the din is in this situation that you're allowed to go drink it, because we say that the truma is batel, and we just take out one. So let's say one fell into 100. So technically all 101 can now be drunk. We consider them all as chulin, but we give one to the kohen anyway. But bottom line is that the bottom 100 aren't going to be ruined in this situation. So that in this situation, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yeshua is molded to Rabbi Eliezer, called visitame. You let it all flow down because no harm is done. There is no hefsid b'mruv in this situation. And you shouldn't do it biyad to go and make it tomei by yourself. It's going to be tomei on its own. So you shouldn't go be metame by putting in a kli tomei to go and collect it. Likewise, Tani Nami Yochi, we have a brice in support of what the Amora of Yosef Ruchanina said. Chavish Shenishbo Begas Oyon, if you have the barrel that broke in the top part of the top area of the press, and the Tachte Amei Chulin Tumein, if you have 100 against it of Chulin Tumein at the bottom, so the top Truma is going to be bottled in that bottom 100 against it. So therefore, in this situation, Modi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer is Modi Rabbi Yeshua. Again, this is a funny lashon. Why is it Modi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua? I mentioned this earlier. Modi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Shim Yochol Lahatzu Mimena Revius Vitahara Yatzo. Then in this situation, if you're able to go and save a little bit from the top with the Tar Kli, you should, as long as it's the Revius. But and if you don't, Vim Lav, you let it go down Teriv Tatame. It should have said, even Rabbi Yeshua is molded to Rabbi Eliezer. In this situation, you're not allowed to be metame biyad, teri v'titame v'ayitamena biyad. So that's easily understood. The only problem is, the language is funny. The more questions is, hi, molded Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua? That doesn't make any sense. It should be molded Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, b'boyele. So what's going on over here? So Amar Rava says, you're right, Eibach, it's a mistake. They should have said Bode Rabbi Yeshua to Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Yeshua is the one that normally says you can be Matama Biyad if it's not going to be Batel, but when you have 100 against it, it's going to be Batel. So Bode Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Eliezer. That's simple and understood. Rabbi says it was a mistake, and go flip the gears around, and it should be Bode Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Eliezer. However, Rav Huna Brei the Rav Yeshua Amar, he says, no, you can keep the girsa as we have it. Lolam lo tepok. You can have it that it's mode Rav Eliezer Rav Yeshua, because it's mode on a different subject. It's not mode on what we sounded like we were saying. Hach ma'eskin, you know what we're talking about? Bechli shetocho tar v'gabo tome. That which was said in the Reisha, that if you can find the kli that's tar, then go and collect the revius of the truma that is tahora, so then you have to do that and not be metamen b'yad. That kli, mode Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Yeshua, that if that kli was only tar on the inside and not tar on the outside, it was tamei on the outside, b'chli shetocho tar v'gabo tamei, in that situation, he says, I allow you to go and use that kli. Mode Rabbi Eliezer, even in that situation, I allow you to use that kli. B'chli shetocho tar v'gabo tamei. I might have thought that Rabbi Eliezer would say, Mao, detema nigzor, you should make a gzeri here and not let you use such a kli, because while the inside is good, you're afraid maybe some of the truma is going to touch the outside and become tame. Do noga gabo betruma, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer should make a gzeri over here and say, you can't use the kli that's tar on the inside, because you may come to be metame on the outside, and that would be metame biyad, and Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't allow this. Kamash molon, the chiddush is that he says you are allowed to go and do this. This was one of the most difficult sugyas in Shas of Chanina Skana Kohanim. Baruch Hashem, we finished it. With this, we conclude the first parak in this beautiful Masechta Pesachim. Hadron Alecha Or Liarbarasar, Hadron Alecha Or Liarbarasar, Hadron Alecha Or Liarbarasar, and that concludes today's shir. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we start the second parak.